Hello and welcome to the Rambling Runner Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Chittum. This is the podcast for all the dedicated amateur runners out there who are working hard to get better while balancing running with the rest of their lives. Really excited for today's episode with Dino Nozella. What an awesome guy. He has worked really hard to get back from some really hard times during COVID, losing loved ones, having his small business really put on hold. He lives up in Toronto and they had some pretty restrictive COVID guidelines up there, and not getting political, but just the way it was. They had overall, he had basically 10 months where his business was shuttered, and it's tough. It's a tough thing. And he's come back and bounced back from a DNF to have an unbelievable marathon at age 48. What an incredible story that is. Before we get into it, I just want to highlight, I can't believe it, it's here. The California International Marathon is this weekend, and I have just an amazing list of live show guests going into the weekend. My goodness, this is the best part of the job for me, is like seeing these people come out and having the opportunity to talk to such great people in a live show setting. It's just the best. So Friday night is from 4 to 6 o'clock. We have Tim Tollefson, Elena Tabb, Julia Griffey, and John Levitt on Friday night. That's three of the best runners in America. And John, who's been a guest on this podcast, he's a guest, or the host, I should say, on the For the Long Run podcast, and a good friend of mine. So that's 4 o'clock with Tim Tollefson, 4:30 with Elena Tabb, 5 o'clock with Julia Griffey. Both Elena and Julia have a very good chance of being on the podium at the California International Marathon. And 5:30 with John Levitt. All of this is at the Expo. And on Saturday, again at the Expo, we'll be there from 3 to 5 o'clock. So 4 to 6 on Friday, 3 to 5 on Saturday. And this is 3 o'clock with Allison DeSeer, 3:20 with Kafuzi, Mike Coe. We have 3:40 with Jess Mena, 4 o'clock with Ashley Paulson, and 4:30 with Peter Bromka. My goodness, what a great list. I can't wait for this. This is going to be so much fun. Head over to the Expo. Also, the listing for all the live shows will be in the show notes. Also, I'll be posting them on Instagram. So many good things. I just cannot wait. Now, let's get into it. My conversation with Dino Nozella. Hello, Dino, and welcome to the show.
Hey, Matt, good to be here.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you on, that's for sure. So you are here by popular demand, as people reaching out, like, you got to get Dino on the show.
That's good to hear. It's good to hear.
And I'll say, you're born and raised Toronto, Canada. You're still in that area. Well, yep. I have to say, we're not Canadians who said this. This is people outside of the 905.
Oh, nice. That's impressive.
Yeah, for sure. And hey, there's a lot of reasons. As I mentioned, I already said this in the intro before we got into this. We'll dive back and not do this completely chronologically, but we do definitely want to talk about how the last 3 or 4 years have been for you, because they've been, you know, challenging.
For sure.
I think that they've been challenging for a lot of people. And I think hearing uplifting stories about people going through hard times can really be motivating and inspiring, especially for people who are going through tough times, whether, you know, No matter the reason, whether it's COVID related or some other reason. And I think that there's a lot of territory there for us to cover that I think could help a lot of people, especially seeing what you've kind of done since then. With that said, we have to start with what just happened. Congratulations on your marathon, Dino.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it. Thank you.
So tell the people about how, just generally speaking, like what you ran and the race you ran, and we'll just give us a little elevator pitch. We'll dive into it a little bit.
Yeah. So I it was October, I guess. It would have been middle of October, and it was the Toronto Waterfront Marathon. I finished, it was a 3:29. I'm not even going to remember the seconds. I'm so bad with that stuff, but 3:29. So just kind of sub 3:30. I was pleased. I actually don't have a ton of experience when it comes down to the marathon. It's actually it's my second that I finished. I had an unfortunate race earlier on in the year that caused me to pull out. So it's my second one, because through the pandemic, I did a ton of running, but there was nothing happening. So I wasn't really a guy that was going to venture into a virtual marathon. That wasn't my kind of thing. So, but no, it was good. I had a huge PB for my first one. First one was an interesting marathon, to say the least. Yeah, I came very, I would say, unprepared for the first one.
A lot of people are shaking their heads when they hear that, including yours truly.
Absolutely. So I probably didn't respect the distance as I probably should have. But yeah, second time around, a little bit better. Third time and probably fourth time, I expect much bigger things, and I'll get there. It's just a matter of time. You got to put in the work, right? I've realized that more and more over the last couple that there you really can't cut any corners, man. You know, you think you can, and you think, I'm good. Maybe I don't have to take this run today, but you do. If you really want to get to a certain level, you got to put it. You got to be in 100%. And I was very happy. It was not quite what I wanted, but much better than it was the first time. So.
For sure. Well, let's dive back into the marathon you had earlier in the year. Mm-hmm. You had a really great post about this, just talking about your instant reactions, right? It's like the hour or two after the race. So it was a race that didn't go well for you. You had to pull out of the race, as you mentioned. So before we get into what happened at the race, how did you feel leading into that marathon in terms of how your training was going and maybe some of your expectations heading into that weekend?
So I had I had a pretty good cycle. I was probably, you know, I probably didn't hit my peak kilometers that I would have liked, let's say, you know, but I overall had a great cycle. I was healthy going into the race. I felt strong. So I think I was going for something like a 3:15, I think, at that point. That was what I was aiming for. And I did. I started the start line. I felt fantastic. I felt great. The body felt good. Didn't have any issues as you usually do sometimes, you know, coming closer to race day. So I didn't have any anxiety about, you know, any tweaks or any issues that I've had, muscle issues or that kind of stuff. I felt great. And then it was just more kind of during the race where, as it often does, it's, you know, you start to feel the body change. So for me, it was more at the, I would say probably, I don't remember now exactly, it was probably around just before the half mark where I was going and I started to feel something happening in my right leg and my hamstring, which I've never had any issues with my hamstring, fortunately. So I figured, as most of us, you know, you keep running, you figure, okay, it's probably going to go away. You'll be all right. And then unfortunately, it just kept getting worse, got worse and worse and worse.
Let me stop you right there.
Yeah.
You mentioned going into it, you were healthy. You had never even had something like this happen before.
Yes.
So after that initial kind of tweak, where you're like, it's easy to write off like in the beginning, right? We've all had those moments where we thought we're injured, but nah, we're fine, right? Let's keep going. Once it started to percolate a little bit and you're like, all right, no, this is actually something.
Right.
And still, again, you'd run a number of miles, a number of kilometers at that point, but it was still fairly early in the race. We're talking before the halfway point.
Yes.
What was going on in your mind emotionally and mentally when this is starting to pop up? Because it's not a reoccurring injury that you're trying to manage. This was a whole new thing.
Right. So that's what was interesting for me, because if it was something reoccurring, I probably would have had a little bit more anxiety, because I would have felt like, you know, it's something maybe I'm re-injuring or something that's kind of flaring up. Because it was something I've never had before, I was, you know, oftentimes, I don't know, listen, I'm not a young guy anymore. I get that too. So when I run, man, I can have an easy run and, you know, I get these little tweaks and I'm running and I feel this little pain and, you know, usually I push through it and it goes away and it's not a big deal. So I really thought it was something like that. I didn't think it was anything major because I'd never had any other issues. But this time, like I said, it started to get a little bit there. So once it started to get a little bit more, I guess, stronger, you would say, that the feeling was a little bit more painful, then I started to get a little bit more nervous because I knew I had about halfway to go. I mean, if it was, you know, towards the end, you know, you kind of fight through it, it's one thing. I was very fortunate. I had quite a few friends of mine along the course that were kind of following us with the car, or following me anyways, with the car and bike. So that really helped to, you know, just have somebody there to kind of encourage you. But when it flared up really, really bad, I couldn't push it any further. I knew it was something that was probably going to end my day. I had a friend of mine on course that was able to come out and, kind of work on my hamstring as I was going. I went down on the ground and he was trying to loosen it up. But I lost a lot of time. One of my other friends who was there is a physician. So I take his, opinion seriously. And, you know, it was one of those things I had to make that decision. I lost the time, but wasn't going to get what I was going to get. I knew I had halfway to go. So you start to kind of, is it worth it? Is it something that, you know, I can get to a point where I'm going to have some serious damage to it? You know, is it just a strain or is it going to be a tear is what I was worried about. So, you make, it was tough at that point. I was just mortified. I know it sounds dramatic, but I was. I remember thinking, you know, when you feel so good at the beginning, and then it ends so poorly, not even at the end, but halfway, it was a tough day for sure.
Now talk to me about after the race, because I know I read your post, so I know some of the mental gymnastics you had. And when you have these things that pop up that are just so random, it can be just so hard to put them in context and to even say, like, all right, like, if this is going to happen, like, you know, like, if I can't even come close to predicting how my body is going to react during this, like, that can be an incredibly frustrating place to be.
You know what it is? I think a lot of it too is initially, I would say, I mean, I was upset. I had my my family at the finish line. And so, you know, I called them up. I said, listen, it's not happening. I'm going to go home. My buddy drove me home. And, you know, you go obviously through a sulking period, which I totally do. But, you know, it's funny because I don't consider myself that. I mean, I'm into social media, but, you know, not that big of a deal. But you really start to think of that as well. I never thought it would pop in my mind, but you really start to think. I remember thinking to myself, like, dude, you're such a loser. I can't believe, you know, you post all this stuff online. You know, I just felt like a failure. There was no other way of putting it. Like, I remember just feeling it was the first time in my life that I just, you know, DNF'd. And I raced a lot as a kid, stopped in my middle ages. I've never had a race in my life that I didn't finish. So, and to be honest, I've had some pretty bad races. My first marathon, I literally dislocated my knee and still finished. And this time here, I just couldn't do it. It was terrible. So for me, I there was almost a level of embarrassment, sadly to say. I know it's probably being dramatic, but you know, I had my kids, right? That, you know, you keep telling them, you go through this stuff in life when you're a father, talking to your kids about don't quit, you know, try your best. And I almost felt like I let everybody else down. Not that I do it for them. I also do it for myself, but you go through this almost mourning, I guess. I know it sounds dramatic, but, that's the way I felt. I really did felt, I mean, I remember driving home thinking, you know what, man, I'm going to shut down my IG account. This is crazy. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm getting offline. I swear to God, I'm going to stick to jogging like 3 days a week. I was done with running for, probably about an hour. And then all of a sudden you start to kind of realize, like, you really got to focus on the positive things that came out of that cycle. And I had one of the best cycles I ever had, like in the sense of having fun. I had a great cycle. The guys I run with on a weekly basis are absolutely fantastic. So, you know, in the end, you got to take it as a loss and move on, right?
Yeah, so let's talk about the positives, right? Because you did bounce back. And as you just said, like, you just finished a really good marathon cycle, obviously, because you had a really good marathon, right? Sure. I mean, you can have a good marathon cycle and not have a great marathon. But you can't have a great marathon if you didn't at least have a good marathon cycle.
Yes,
right?
Very.
There's a lot of ways to not have a great marathon. There's only one way to have a really good one, and that's to have a really good marathon cycle, and usually two or three kind of stacked on top of each other. So what were some of the positives that once you kind of had, like, you know, let some of the emotions out and you're able to collect yourself and then look back on that time, what were some of the positives that you took from it?
So I learned a lot. And again, I don't have a lot of experience. Like for Mississauga, that was actually going to be my second marathon. So I don't have a lot of experience at this distance. I'm still learning a lot as I go, you know, along. When I was younger, there was a lot of, you know, 5Ks and under. That's kind of what I stuck to. So with this, you know, I definitely realized that I learned a lot. Again, the guys I run with, you know, I've really created some really special friendships through running, which I consider myself very fortunate for. Those are the big things that I kind of took out of it. Like, you know, if I stopped, I wouldn't have these type of things. So much of my life is tied to running these days. So, you know, overall, I knew I got to a much, compared to my first marathon, I know I became a much, much better runner regardless of the result. And, I don't know. I guess that would be the big thing. Just the people that I kind of was able to surround myself with through the running community. And, you know, there's a physical aspect as well. I got myself into, you know, much better shape than I did before. That's always a positive. So there really was a lot of great lessons that I took from it, which did, to be honest, help me in October in the last marathon that I just finished. So
what is like the social aspect for you from a running perspective, whether that's, you know, not even like the digital side, because it seems like you're talking about more the in-person side. So like, yes, in terms of like running groups and whether it's just friends you're meeting, yep, up with, like, what does it look like for you generally speaking, and how does it manifest itself on like a day-to-day, week-to-week basis?
So I was always a runner, a solo runner. I never ran with anybody else ever. And this is almost my entire life. When I was younger, it was one thing, but you know, at that age, everybody's social. After that, I was solo 100%. I had guys that would always, you know, bring up, "Hey, why don't we go for a run?" And you know, even this is when I usually just kind of do it casually and unstructured and wasn't training for any particular race. I think it was almost probably a lack of confidence, to be honest, as well. I just felt like I didn't know if I was worthy to run with some of these guys, right? And I don't know. That changed a lot. So over the course of the last couple of years, I've really brought in a lot of people into my circle that it was hard for me initially, but now I've really embraced it. So that's a huge, huge thing that has changed for me over the course of the last, I guess, couple of years. So the guys that I run with now, there's a whole slew of them. And now, you know, I've done a lot of that, where probably thanks to IG as well. But, you know, when some of these guys do these like little fun runs and stuff like that, I've showed up by myself, which I would have never done years ago. I just wasn't that guy. And I think become that guy now, which is interesting, right? So I kind of started running on my own, for myself, but I think I'm continuing it also for the community now. So that's really had a huge impact on me, which has been great. Like, I'm not anything special when it comes down to running at all. I'm totally an average guy that way, but yeah, you know, you just feel like you're really part of something. And I always said that that's the beauty of the running community, right?
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
All right, so how did that group that you mentioned, how did that group, that community, kind of help bring you back into like your marathon cycle after the DNF? And what were some of the interactions you had with those people? Because obviously they knew what your goals were going into the race. They certainly knew your fitness level. And I'm guessing they probably could also understand where you're coming from post-race, because, you know, a lot of people have races that don't quite go their way.
So again, whether it was online or the immediate group that I run with, the immediate group that I run with are incredible runners. A lot of them are former elite runners back in their day. So they have a ton of history, you know, and experience in this distance. So to be honest, all of them have been through something like this. That was a big thing as well. So, you know, everybody reached out. Everybody was so kind. Same thing with online. Sometimes you don't even realize how many of these people that are following your account sometimes. And I was just flooded with just incredible messages from people after that day. And again, when you go through something, you know, like that, let's say, and you get this response from people, and again, the kind words I had from so many people, how do you leave? Like, you just, you know, honestly, I mean, some of these people I've never met a day in my life, but if you read some of these messages, you know, for someone to sit there and craft this message and take the time to, you know, write not one or two, three lines. I mean, like, just like almost a story of, you know, their experience and just kind of enlightening me on what they went through. You know, you realize very, very quickly, number one, you're not alone. This has happened to many, many people. And you just feel, again, like, you know, you fell, but there's a ton of people there to kind of pick you up. And I think for most runners, we find that, you know, with any race that we do, whether it's the marathon distance or not, there's always somebody there to kind of help support you. The group that I run with is absolutely fantastic. We went for a race shortly after, or a run shortly after that. And that entire run, we're them, you know, just kind of building me back up in a way. And that's huge. I mean, it, you know, you really, I always say, like, you know, if you can, friends are great. I got a lot of friends of mine that don't run, so I don't want to put these guys down because I'll never hear the end of it. But you know, your running friends are something special. There's just something about it. We get what we're all kind of, you know, trying to achieve. Everyone's got their own goals, their own, but there's just something special about a lot of the people that you run with. You know, you spend a lot of time with them. My guys that I do my long runs with, you know, you're spending 2 hours every Sunday just talking about everything in the world, right? You're solving the world's problems. You hear about their families. You hear about, you know, all kinds of the good and the bad. You know, it's something I think it brings, you know, people much, much closer. So that was huge. I think that was the biggest thing that made me decide, all right, I'm probably gonna stick around IG for a little bit and keep running, right?
Yeah, and it's interesting that you did. So when you had the initial experience, like, I'm done. I'm not going to do this anymore. Yeah. How many times have we all gone through that sort of experience?
Yeah.
That's for
sure.
100%. So when did you actually sign up for the recent Toronto Marathon?
Honest to God, I think it was probably 2 days after. It was right after. You know, that's what I mean. I have such a short memory. You know, it's funny. I say this to my wife. I compare myself with a lot of women that are out there that goes through childbirth. You know, you say, if you remember these things, you never have another kid. And I'm kind of like that with my racing, man. You know, it was a terrible day. I remember sitting there being in so much pain. Even while I was signing up for my next race, I wasn't better. I was still, you know, my hamstring was killing me. And I remember sitting there and I'm looking at this and what can I get into the fall? And then I remember hitting, you know, the whole, you know, whatever, submitting your, you know, whatever, race fees and all that sort of stuff, thinking like, you know, again, for a moment you think like, why am I doing this again? Why would you want to, I'm not getting paid for this. Why am I doing this? But that's the addiction that we have, right? That's something that just keeps kind of pulling you back, right?
Absolutely. And did you find that you, again, every day is different, so I don't want to paint too broad of a brush here, but do you see yourself skewing more towards like when you run is to like overcome a challenge or to get the most out of yourself and stuff like that? Or do you find yourself more towards the side of things that are like, okay, this is like good for like my mental health. This is like the time of day where I'm able to be by myself and it's relaxing. Obviously I push hard, but it's kind of more of like the determined side versus more of the, hey, this is good for me. This is good for my well-being side.
So I'm kind of, I would say I'm kind of a mix, but there's no question. I've said this many times. If I've never had to run another race, I'd still continue running the way I do. So the running to me is not necessarily just about the races. I know for a lot of people that is the case. For me, it's not. It's why I've kind of always kept it up, not as serious maybe as I am now, but you know, over the years, I've always kind of kept it up. So there's no question that there's a... on the mental health side of things, it's a big deal for me. Anytime I've had anything tough in my life that pops up, it's the running that kind of helps me get through that. I know it's, you know, we all say that, but it is, I can't tell you how true it is for me. You know, again, we briefly discussed this, but you know, COVID was a tough time in a lot of ways for many of us. And I went through my own challenges, during that. I flat out say if I didn't have my running, I would have been in a very dark place. And I know that sounds dramatic, but it's true. Like it just, it was my escape. It was my time to myself. I'm a dreamer when I run. Like I am so bad that way. Like I can get lost in my own neighborhood, man. I there's times I'm running and I got no idea how long, you know, sometimes I don't look at my watch. I got no idea how long I've been running for, what street I'm on. Like I tend to be very, my mind just escapes. And I think I need that in certain times, especially when you're stressed out. So for me, that's probably the biggest part, but I do have that competitive side. So there's a lot of things I want in this distance to achieve that I'm not there yet, but I'll get there in time. Right. So,
all right, let's dive into the COVID years. And obviously I know who was still getting COVID, but you know, the initial 18 month to 2 year burst. Let's, I guess, talk about the professional side. For you. Tell us what you do and how that was impacted by COVID and kind of the effect that it had on you and your family.
Sure. So I know you're in the States. It was a little different for us in Canada. I'm not getting political with this, but I mean, we were shut down for a long time, much longer than a lot of other places. So in Ontario specifically, which is the province that I live in, I have a hair salon I've had for about 25 years. And we were essentially shut down for a year. Like we could not, like I just could not go to work. Now, so I know a lot of places, I got friends of mine in Florida and stuff, and you know, they had this kind of brief, let's say, shutdown and that kind of stuff. And but for us, like our first shutdown, I think lasted, I think about three and a half months, something like that. And then we had a second shutdown that was almost seven, which for what I remember at the time, I believe it was one of the longest shutdowns in the world. It was crazy. And so, I mean, my business was shut down for a year. So that has its own challenges for sure. Not so much. I mean, I've been very fortunate with my career, and I've been there for a long, long time. So it wasn't so much of a thankfully worried about money type of thing. We were fine that way. But it just I've started working at 19 years old, man, and I've never had probably more than 3 weeks off since then. So that's what I do. I get up, I go to work. That's kind of what I do. It's what I enjoy. And that was kind of stripped from me for a long time. And I thrive with people. I like talking to my clients. I love my clients. I love my job. And all of a sudden I was, you know, like many of us just kind of stuck at home. And as much as I had a great time with my wife and kids, it was a tough time that way. And then unfortunately, so that was on the professional side. On a personal level, we just had a lot of, especially when COVID first started, I had quite a few friends and family that, you know, was very, very, got very, very ill and passed away. And that was very, very tough, especially, you know, those close ones that passed. And, that was, I would say probably the worst time in my life where I just felt everything came kind of crashing to a halt together. It was the first time in my life where I felt professionally, I had no, you know, I usually forecast a lot of my business. I see where we're going to be in the next, you know, 2, 3, 5 years, whatever. I couldn't do any of that sort of stuff. I had no idea what was going on at that time. So that was tough. And then all of a sudden you saw this, you know, just this heartbreak when it came down to the family. So it was very, very difficult. I don't know. I mean, I'm not really one to, I guess, express my feelings. I know a lot of the younger guys do these days, and that's great. I'm just not that guy. We just take your emotions, you dig it down deep, you lock it away, and you move on, right? So,
Come on a podcast and have a guy ask you about all your emotions?
Yeah, it's funny.
I feel bad. I'm like, this guy's telling me he doesn't want to talk about this. And I'm asking.
It's not the case. I actually told you, man. I'm good with everything. And you know, it's funny because my wife, who's always, you know, my biggest supporter, but she's always, you know, babe, you should talk about this sort of stuff. I'm like, yeah, I don't talk about this stuff, but it is important, I think, and I think so. I will give credit to a lot of the next, you know, the younger generations. Everyone seems to be very in touch with their emotions, which I think is a good thing. So I'm learning. But that aside, because I guess I'm limited on that, again, it was the running that really helped me because I had a lot of really dark days, I guess, especially through the passing of people I know. It was tough. And I mean, even with that during COVID, I mean, you couldn't spend time with the people you wanted to, even after, let's say, going through a loss or going through a difficult time because you just weren't allowed. Here, it was very, very strict. So it's interesting with COVID because I think depending on where you live, the experience was also very, very different. And so I will say we had a tough time here where I'm from. They were very, very strict. That was very difficult. So running, honestly, I know it sounds dramatic, but truly, truly saved me during that time. I had a ton of time to run. I was in the best fitness of my life during COVID. So that was fantastic. I was able to go out once, twice, you know, a day because I had nothing else to do, right? So.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because, and not to make it a leading question because it doesn't even have to be running related, but, you know, if the business isn't going great and then all of a sudden your family's not going great and you have just a lot of negativity going on and you can't exactly see, like, light at the end of the tunnel, at least in the short term. Like, it all is kind of up in the air. Like, who knows what's going to happen here?
Sure.
That's a lot mentally and emotionally. Mm-hmm. So looking back, you know, what... Obviously, you got through it because here you are.
Yeah.
But you know, it doesn't have to be a running answer. But what were just some of the ways that you were able to kind of get through that? And maybe it's the opposite. Maybe you look back and you say, "Hey, that was really challenging. I should have done XYZ differently." You know,
right.
And you know, you can give yourself grace during that. You know, if you reflect that way, because obviously we all try to do our best, but just how are you able to deal with that? Because that seems like an awful lot of burden to carry.
So it was, but again, you know, the support system's everything, right? And it's funny. I think with COVID, you probably came out one way or the other, right? I know some people that got into great shapes, others that probably, you know, many of us probably ate too much. I did a lot of that too, but there was a lot of things that we kind of took out of COVID. you know, for me, it was a great thing. I spent more time, you know, again, you have to start thinking of the positive, right? So anytime something negative comes up in my life, I start to think, okay, well, all right, this sucks, but what do I have to look forward to? So I had more time with my kids than I've ever had in my life. I tend to work a lot of hours. And so, you know, I remember actually one morning, which I'll never forget, and it was earlier on in the shutdown. So it wasn't like I was going through a ton of issues at that point, but there was a lot of things we just didn't know about the virus and where we were going and all that stuff. But I remember being home, everything was shut down. And I remember watching my kids get up. And nobody was rushing to school. I wasn't taking anybody here or there. You know, it was just, everybody was just chilling and we had breakfast together. And I remember thinking like, you know what, this day would have never happened, right? If I didn't sit there and have this pandemic, because my life is busy, right? You know, between myself and my wife going to work and get the kids to school, you know, you have children as well. Logistically, my mornings are crazy. So all of a sudden, everything kind of stopped. And so we started to do a lot of things as a group, as a unit. And that was the biggest thing for me, even for my wife. Again, I know for some people, they probably went crazy. And for us though, it was in my household anyways, it was actually really, really nice. When I was called back to work and they were going to reopen everything, listen, man, it was time, we had to go back and I was happy to go back. But it's funny when they announced it, I remember my kids and my wife both coming up to me and like, oh my God, Dad, you got to go back to work. I'm like, I know. Part of it sucked because we really did enjoy so much family time, which I never had before. And to be honest, I probably never will. I mean, my kids are getting older and, you know, as they get older, I know that I'm going to have less and less time with them, with every coming year. That's just what ends up happening. And I'm seeing that now. I mean, my daughter's almost 18 and, you know, between working and going out and all that sort of stuff, you just have less time with them. So in the weirdest of ways, it was great. My wife and I, you know, we started dating in high school and, you know, we were, I would say, very fortunate to, after all the years, these years to, you know, to still have a great relationship. And that was awesome. I mean, that she's always there for me. And that was a big thing as well. So, you know, that unit gets you through. And I think a lot of, you know, I changed for sure over the last 3 years. And I think a lot of it was kind of forced upon me because all of a sudden I'm home and you start having these discussions, right? All of a sudden I'm talking to my wife about this and that. And again, I'm not one that really talks about my feelings, but all of a sudden I started to, and in a lot of ways it was a good thing, right? So, the unit helps you. I mean, it no different than running. You know, like I said, when I had a bad day or a bad race, it was that group of runners and that, you know, my core group that was the ones that were going to kind of lift me up. It's no different than when it comes down in life, right? It's going to be your family. It's going to be, you know, your wife, your kids, parents, friends, whatever it is, that's going to kind of get you out of, you know, the dumpster type of thing, right? And that's exactly what happened for me. So I was very fortunate to have people around me that I could do that with.
Yeah. And you mentioned like you got a lot, really dove into running. And, you know, we know you as someone who hasn't run a lot of marathons. You've completed mm-hmm. two now, which is, you know, commendable. And that's a big deal. It's two more than most people run. No right. question
yeah,
about
yeah,
that.
Fair enough. Yeah.
We lose sight of that here on this show. And even I lose sight of it because I talk to people all the time. We run marathons, but you lose sight of that sort of thing. So what about this distance has kind of attracted you to it as someone who has family, who works a lot of hours? Why not just focus on more like the 5K stuff? What about the longer distances have kind of sucked you in?
It's hard, man. You know, and so for me, that's the challenge is everything, right? I think it's, again, whether it's, you know, in your professional life or personal life, sporting life, whatever it is, it's the hard stuff that really makes you feel special when you get past that point. So for the marathon, that's what it was. Like I said, I always stuck to the, you know, I did quite well when I was younger in the shorter distances. And when I got into this, I started to realize just the, even throughout the races, right? I mean, you get to these points where mentally it becomes so challenging. And if you get past that point, I mean, there's a reward that you get to that's just unbelievable, right? And so I don't know if I'm going to be these guys that are going to run 20, 30 marathons. I commend those people that can do that. I think it's great. I'm not saying I got four or five in me, but I remember thinking like, for me, I figured I probably have five or six in my life. And then I think I'll probably just, you know, stick with some halves and stuff, especially at my age. I think if I started younger, it would be a little bit different. But I got to get to...
Hold on. You keep mentioning your age. I'm looking at you right now. You're a young guy. How old are you, Dino?
Well, I'm 48. I'm going to be 49 soon.
I'll say, you look younger than me, and I'm 41. So kudos to you, obviously. Maybe working in the salon helps. I don't know. I certainly am not. That's for sure.
No. I'm not saying I'm old by any means. Listen, there's guys much older than me that do incredible things. But I also know, you know, let's say when I was younger, I was able to do a lot more things. And you know, I have to change in my life how I do things now. Not only in the sense of timing, but also in the sense of my body, right? My body is not the way it was 20 years ago. And so I have to take that into consideration when I train, how much I train, the type of training I do. All these things really start to matter, I find, pushing, you know, towards your kind of, you know, later years, right? I'm not saying you can't do it. Of course you do it, but you got to modify, right? Otherwise, it's very easy to be injured at our age, right? There's just a lot of little things that pop up, and that's a frustrating thing, but I find for me, you know, again, there's still one major thing that I want to do in this distance. There's no doubt in my mind. I know I don't want to sound cocky, but there's no doubt in my mind I'll get there. I know what I have to do to get there. I just got to do it, right? And so I'll get there, and I'm hoping.
Are you going to tell us what this team, or are you going to lead us to shore and we can't drink?
I don't want to sound so dramatic. My goal was always to go sub three. And I know that's a very difficult thing to do. I know I can do it. There's no question in my mind. I need a lot of things to go right. When I was during my training in COVID, I started to reach those numbers that made me really think about, yeah, you could probably do this, right? The guys that I was training with, coaches that I had, started to kind of say, you know, you can totally start to look at this sub three. Now, I was at a level of fitness during COVID because I had a lot more time. So I know I can get back to my COVID fitness, if you will. It's a little bit harder because I got a lot more things going on. Obviously, you know, when you're working, it's very different than when you're not working. You know, when you're stuck at home, it's a lot easier, again, to go out for a couple of runs. But I know I got to that level of running once. I know I can get there again. It's just a matter of I have to just figure out a way to squeeze this stuff in. And after the last marathon that I had in October, I'm very focused, probably more so than I ever have before. So, and that's where, you know, how you asked me before, is it more, are you driven for a result or not? I think I am now. Like, now that COVID's over, all the negativity's behind me, and, you know, all the other stuff I had to deal with is over. Thankfully, my body now seems to have recovered. I'm good. Everything's okay. So now it's all about training for me. It's all about, you know, I have a marathon coming in May that I signed up for. So it's kind of stepping stone. So my goal there would be, you know, to kind of sit around that, you know, 310 or sub 310. And I know what I need to do. And then after that, you know, we'll try the same. Like, just chip away at it. And I know many people will say, you know, I want to go sub three and they never make it. Dude, I might be one of them, and that's okay. But again, if you're not going to aim high, right, why bother? So you just got to put in the work. I realized so much more after Toronto, just little things that I probably should have done that I didn't do. And these are the things that kind of affect you in your race result, right? So I know what I have to do. It's just a matter of time, right? So
you bring up a great point. We'll talk about those little things in a second. Mm-hmm. You better believe I'm going to follow up on that. But you bring up a great point, is that, you know, at different points in our life, our motivations can change, right? So you say you're sure, kind of more like, you know, goal focused right now, whereas, you know, a couple of years ago you were less so. But it doesn't mean running any different in terms of like its effect on us. Also doesn't change the way that we, you know, the amount of miles we do or how even fit we are, right? Our motivations can change, but the end result may not change, which is kind of a really interesting concept. And I appreciate you bringing that up for sure. After your spring marathon, mm-hmm. Obviously, you got hurt, and that those challenges. Certainly, you didn't want to get hurt again, right?
Right.
So, what changes did you make after the spring marathon that allowed you to be healthy coming into this one? And what were some of the things that you just alluded to? The changes that you want to make moving forward, besides just, you know, obviously getting in whatever kilometers you can every week while having it sustainable for your business and your family.
Right. So you know. So again, this would probably be on the training side of things. I think I learned a lot as well. I started to really. You know, everyone tells you the same thing, you know, go easy on your easy days, go this, go that. And, you know, I think I fell into a trap like a lot of people do when it comes down to, you know, posting on Strava and this and that, and you, you know, you start to look at your numbers and are they good enough and all this nonsense. And what I started to notice with some of the older guys that I actually follow that always seem to pull out really, really good results. And what I noticed with these guys was, again, it wasn't, there's no showboating here, right? There's not, you know, they're not doing these crazy kilometer, you know, repeats or whatever. The bulk is really slow running. It's an easy pace running for the, you know, we all hear about the whole 80-20 thing, but you know, you hear, I know I hurt, it was in one ear and out the other, man. And every time I start running, you know, the right song comes on and I lose all track of, you know, it's supposed to be an easy day and I go way too fast. And I come back and I don't care. But what I've realized for me now, and again, I'm not saying I'm old, man, I'm not, but again, the body is aging a bit. So what I've realized is those easy days really, really work for me. And even since October, you know, I'm just kind of trying to build my kilometers back up now. And what I've noticed is I'm able to actually run a lot more kilometers, which I need, because I need to build that, you know, that endurance more and more and more. I'm able to actually get to the kilometers that I need to. Let's say, you know, I'm trying to get to that, you know, COVID time I was running, you know, 115, 120. I know you guys are miles. I'm not even going to attempt that. But I remember, you know, for me, getting to that 120 stage is a big thing. And if I can consistently do that, I just, you will be in much, much better shape. The problem is you're not going to get there, or I won't get there, if you're running too fast most of the time. And that's a big thing for me that I've really, it took me so long. I've read every book out there, man, but it took me so long to be disciplined enough to say, this is my task. So before I leave for every run now, I know that's exactly what I do. This is my job. So I will sit there most of the time, to be honest, when I go on any kind of easy runs, I don't need, you know, I'll take my watch with me, but I very rarely try to look at it. I really try to go by effort. I try to keep, you know, once in a while, if I'm looking, I try to keep my, you know, heart rate down, these type of things. And so, you know, I really try to stress a lot of that. Even on my workout days, you know, I think I was pushing those way too fast, and they're not, it's not a race, man. So even that, there was just this rush that I would always get. And that's great for a 5K. And that's, you know, I think the problem, and that's where I kind of thrived as a kid. So I was always onto the faster stuff. And that's honestly what I enjoy. I love that feeling. But I've realized with the marathon, it's very, very different. And if you follow that sprinter or mid-distance mentality, it actually doesn't benefit you. It doesn't for me anyways. So I've really tried to focus now on being disciplined and just going really easy on my easy days. And even on my workouts, like, you know, I got my coach, he'll give me my, you know, my workouts to do. And I was always, you know, always faster than my workouts. And I've realized with that, I got to kind of slow that down as well. There's no reason. It's not a race day, man. Take it easy. And your body tends to thank you for that over time, right? So
a lot of great points. I think the kilometer conversion is around 65 to 70 miles a week, which is a lot of miles. So yes. Kudos for you for maintaining that. No wonder you're continuing to get better and aiming for big goals and that kind of mileage. Especially if you can sustain it and stay healthy, that's an enormous deal, especially for someone who's has a job and balancing a lot of work hours. That's for sure. Before we get going, Dino, what race you got coming up in May?
So May, Toronto, we have two. So we have the waterfront one in October, and we have another Toronto marathon in the spring, which I'm, you know, I work with this particular race as an ambassador as well. So it falls on my birthday. Everything was just kind of lined up, right? So so it'll be a good one for sure. So I think I'll be ready to go.
That's great. Dino, yeah. Thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Pleasure's mine, buddy. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Love the show.